Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to bring it back to one of the main stories today, which of course is Signature Bank getting shut down, some of the fallout of Silicon Valley Bank. I want to bring back our former guest that we were just talking about, Barney Frank, the co-sponsor of the Dodd-Frank Act, as well as a board member of Signature Bank. Barney, thank you as always for joining us on the radio today. Let's start with a simple question. What happened?
Well, one former board member, the board was dissolved by the FDIC. What happened was the fallout, as I heard you say, I think, from Silicon Valley Bank, we got hit, although we, Signature, were in good shape. In fact, given what the Fed and the FDIC announced today, if that had been announced on Friday, we would have had no problem at all. We began to lose deposits on Friday out of reaction to what happened in Silicon Valley. What you also had was, it wasn't just Silicon Valley, it was a punishment for anybody involved with crypto. This is and I think, in fact, what happened was we had gotten into crypto, although in a way that no way put us at risk. We facilitated our customers who wanted to deal with each other in crypto, but we were noted as someone that was doing crypto, as I said, not in a way that was risky to us, and there was this fleeing of banks that were seen to have crypto. Now, it was a liquidity issue, not a solvency issue. And we had, by Sunday, actually gotten back to a point where we had the liquidity. But I believe the regulators wanted to send a message that crypto is toxic, frankly. And they wanted to tell everybody to get as far away from crypto as they could. And we were signaled out to be the poster child for that message.
Well, Barney, your CEO, Joe DiPaolo, has actually said the same thing you just said, which is the exposure was responsibly handled. It was limited exposure, where Silicon Valley Bank, for example, had a lot more exposure to tech startups, to VCs.
Yes, I agree.
So how did crypto lead to the shutdown of Signature exactly? Walk us through the details.
Two ways. First of all, deposits. And like other banks that cater to businesses, as we do, we didn't cater to high tech. We catered to largely commercial lenders. We're a big housing developer, which is one of the things I liked about our role. So we had a lot of large depositors who were uninsured, and they panicked knowing that we were involved with crypto, and we explained to them, but it was crypto in a very responsible way that didn't expose us. They didn't want to hear it. They just wanted to go to J.P. Morgan or Bank of America just in case. So what the way crypto hurt us was the fact that we are involved with crypto, although, as I said, in a way different than SVB and have large uninsured depositors. They panicked and fled. What the Fed did now by announcing they would back up, or what FDIC did, that they'd back up uninsured depositors and make a liquidity facility open at the Fed, that would have kept us from having a problem. And as I said, I think the regulators, knowing that we were involved with crypto, even though in a totally different way, wanted to send a message to get people away from crypto. I think some of the regulators were a little nervous that they'd been a little too accommodating to crypto, and particularly after FTX, which is poisoned
right.
The whole atmosphere.
Barney,
they wanted to
you're talking about...
message.
Let me just hop in here. You're talking about mostly uninsured deposits. Roughly 90% of deposits for Signature were uninsured. Look, you're a co-sponsor of the Dodd-Frank Act, which is known for regulation. Why wasn't this addressed earlier?
Because we were defeated. It's a good point. I wanted to extend deposit insurance for larger businesses. We have a payroll issue. There had been a temporary extension of that in 2008, and I pushed for it in a House version of the bill. We extended it, but we ran into political opposition, first from the large banks, which frankly don't want people to have that reassurance because that makes it likely for people, as happened now, to pull out of smaller banks and go to B of A or J.P. Morgan Chase. We had Republican opposition who saw it, well, this is interference with the economy. We had some people on the left who said, oh, don't insure the very rich, although extending to business accounts, that guarantee protects working people because it protects payroll.
Of course.
So the answer is, it's a good question. I tried to get it extended, and I hope that what will happen now is people having learned the backing of the uninsured, raising the insurance level, will not be a one-off for this crisis, but that my former colleagues will take steps to extend it, particularly for payroll accounts.
Well, should there be any limit? I mean, shouldn't we? The Fed has essentially come out now with its statement and assured depositors across the country that there's no more limit, that every deposit is insured. Is that okay?
That's a necessary temporary measure until they work out. And what I think you need to do is to raise the limit, first of all, on business accounts. We're not talking about rich individuals' pocket money. We're talking about, because what do you do if you're a business and you have to meet a payroll that's in the hundreds of thousands of millions? I would say, this is off the top of my head, I'm not there to do the research now, that you would want to say that an amount that would get you through at least one payroll period and maybe two, so you could then make other arrangements.
But why should there be any limit, Barney? Why does America have these thousands of banks? Why not just have, like 5 or 10 big institutions so that we don't have to have these problems all the time?
Here's the reason. If you're talking about a personal account of $1 million, 5 banks will do it. What if you're a business that has a payroll in the tens of millions? How many banks do you have to do? It would be very inefficient to have them have to have 50 banks. And why do it? It's to protect not the banks, but to protect working people. That's why there was a lot of pressure from.
I get that. I just don't understand why there should be a limit. I guess you could vilify rich people. Oh, he has $1 million in that bank account, but who cares? Like, why should there be any limit? Why not insure all deposits?
Because there is a potential cost to the federal government. There is a potential moral hazard. There's some throw safety to having people check with their bank. You don't want banks that are irresponsible to have an unrestricted limit. I would make it pretty high, and I think the need, again, is, and I'm not vilifying rich people. What I'm saying is there's no policy need to protect millions of dollars in individual pocket cash. There is a policy need to protect an institution that has payroll and not make them go to 10 or 20 or 40 banks and let them put the bank to have a bank which is sufficient to at least get them through a month's payroll.
Right.
And that's the specifics I would work for. It's what we tried to do in the House in 2008. We didn't have the votes to do it in the Senate. But I hope now people have learned, frankly, that we were right. They will do that.
Barney, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said the takeover of Signature Bank by federal regulators on Sunday, quote, was not a bailout. Do you agree?
Who said it wasn't a bailout?
New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
Yeah, well, I don't see how it's a bailout. What's going to happen is,
they certainly bailed out the depositors.
Yeah, but not just of Signature Bank. Every depositor was. I'm sorry, can I finish a sentence?
Please, please.
The fact is, nothing was done with regard to depositors at Signature Bank different than any other bank in America. So, no, if it was a bailout for Signature, it was a bailout for everybody. Secondly, and I think for good policy reasons, you don't want to have people's payrolls going unmet and hurting innocent people and the economy. Beyond that, what's going to happen is that the FDIC is going to sell the bank. I predict that they're going to get a pretty good price for it, confirming that there was no reason endemic to the bank or intrinsic to the bank to shut it down. I think they were just trying to send an anti-crypto message. But they, as far as the shareholders are concerned, nobody's going to get any money other than what's brought in by a sale. There'll be no taxpayer money that anyway will be repaying shareholders.
Congressman, I want to ask you a couple questions about what's left of Signature Bank as well. Let's start with their digital payments
Wait,
platform.
Hang on 1 second. Hang on 1 second till the train announcement stops. I'm at substation.
Well, of course, we are happy to wait for that. But of course, there's going to be a lot of more headlines as well. And then the time we have left with you, Congressman, I want to ask you about the digital payments platform, Signet. Is it still online?
Yes, I said go ahead.
Is Signet still online, the digital payments platform associated with Signature Bank?
What platform?
Signet.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
No worries. Let's move on to the next one. You're talking about the big banks and simply the regulation required for them. Who benefits from what you're seeing on the FDIC front and the Fed front? Who benefits?
Oh, who benefits from the FDIC are working people who have to be paid.
And sure, but I meant in terms of the shutdown of Signature Bank. Where did those funds go?
I'm sorry, you're asking me different questions. You asked me, I thought, about who benefits. In the first place, with regard to depositors, nothing is being done at Signature that isn't being done everywhere else. And the purpose is so that people can meet payrolls, and I'm all in favor of that, and I know that's been a lot of the demand. As far as funds are concerned, there'll be funds that will bail out the deposits. The FDIC has announced, and again, not differently for Signature than any other bank, that there will, if necessary, be an assessment on other banks to build up the FDIC fund, because those payments come out of not general tax revenues, but FDIC funds that are generated by fees paid by banks. As far as shareholders are concerned, any compensation to shareholders will come from the proceeds when the FDIC sell Signature to some other entity. And whatever those are, that'll be enough.
Hey Barney, Critty and I were initially discussing your legislation this morning because it turns out that SVB would have been under the scrutiny of regulators had it not been for the 2018 partial repeal or exemption of banks holding less than $100 billion in assets from scrutiny right away, and then $100 to $250 billion from scrutiny over the next year and a half, exemption from Dodd-Frank. Do you think that that's going to be turned back around? Are these banks...
Probably not. Here's the response to that. It was not an exemption from regulation. It was an exemption from particularly strict regulation, which still applies to the larger banks. I will tell you that Signature was in that category of banks that got not the strictest regulation, but there was still serious regulation. And I will tell you that during that period, since 2018, the regulators were very involved with Signature. I think the problem was, frankly, digital as a new element in the system. And there was regulation regarding digital. I think what happened, frankly, was with FTX, that just scared people so much on digital that you got this deposit runs that were unanticipated. But it wasn't a lack of regulation. The regulators had the power. They did not have the same strictness that they had, say, with Wells Fargo or Citi. But it was not a case of removing regulation. The banks were still subject to regulation. And I can tell you, with regard to Signature, It was pretty serious regulation even after that bill passed.
The reason I ask is just that President Biden held a press conference this morning in which he said that he would ask Congress and banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely that this kind of failure would happen. Do you see that as necessary with your experience?
I don't see it as necessary. Remember, this is not a widespread set of failures, in part because of the rules we did put in place. so that even banks that were getting hit with deposit runs are still solvent because they were better capitalized thanks to the legislation and because they were not allowed to get involved thanks to the Volcker rule and excessively risky underfunded derivatives. I think there are ways the regulations should be tightened, yes. So I don't think it's, I wouldn't say necessary, but I think it would be very beneficial to tighten them in some ways.
Congressman, at Signature Bank specifically, when did the bank know that the federal government was very concerned about it and would, in fact, take it over?
Well, we heard about it on over the weekend. What happened was on Friday, things were okay, and then on Friday afternoon, we got hit with a billions and billions of dollars in withdrawals of deposits. Because we are business-oriented, lend a lot to developers, property owners, housing people, we have large depositors disproportionately to, say, the average bank. And we began to get these deposit outflows on Friday, began dealing with them. I believe by Sunday we had resolved that, finding more capital and the deposit outflows stopped. I believe that the regulators stepped in even after we had managed to stabilize that because of their determination to get people to move away from crypto, and we were the poster child for that decision.
Barney, was there any wrongdoing at Signature Bank? Any fraud?
Any what?
Any fraud? Any wrongdoing? Did anything wrong happen at Signature Bank, in your opinion?
Anything wrong, did you say?
Yes.
No, I don't think if there hadn't been that run on deposits, you wouldn't have had the problem. And by the way, I just learned this morning, the FDIC has removed the chairman, dissolved the board, and removed the CEO and one vice chair, but has otherwise kept all the people in place, including the people who run the bank. And I think you'll see when the sale comes that it's a fundamentally sound bank. And no, they have not pointed to any specific pattern of,
right.
Of wrongdoing or incompetence. It was, as I said, the run spurred by the combination of FTX led to SVB and SVB to us.
All right, Congressman, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We're going to let you go and let you get your train. Congressman Barney Frank, former representative for the U.S. House of Representatives for the state of Massachusetts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.